As for VBS, man, it was an awesome week. I was here all week. We had a great time. We had nine saved in the teen program downstairs for sure that I know of. I don't know how many they had up here. I wasn't up here at all, but we had nine precious souls receive Lord as their Savior this week. And what a blessing it was. I think we had a couple the first night, and then Tuesday night there was nothing. Then we had one on Wednesday night, and then Thursday night there was six. So it was a blessing just to be a part of it. If you were here, you know it was busy. It was hot, man. It was hot this week. I hate the heat. But it was good, man. It was awesome. Had a good time. Teenagers are up here this morning. You guys know the deal. You hear me preach every Sunday morning in teen church, most of you. Sit up. Pay attention. No different up here than it is down there. If you're not, I'm going to call you out. Not a problem. We got special seats right down here on the front for you. If I've talked to you more than once, that's where you're going to end up. So just so you're aware, take your King James Bible, turn into Revelation chapter 22. And when you find that, you can stand as we read the Word of God. I don't think I'll be long this morning. We'll see how God works it out. We're going to look at the last four verses of the Bible this morning, starting in verse number 18. It says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, And if any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Lord, we love you. Thank you for today, Lord. I pray you just fill my mind with Christ now. Give me the power and the strength, Lord. Give me your words that you want for your people, Lord. I pray you take away the distractions, Lord. I pray you just work in this room here this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to talk to you for this morning for just a few minutes. I don't think I'll be long. I don't have many notes. I'm going to talk to you this morning on the grace of God. That last verse of the Bible, it says, as I was reading through this, the first thing that struck me was verses 18 and 19. It very clearly says that anybody that adds to it or anybody that takes away from the Word of God, there's going to be big problems for them. And just on a side note, I can't help but think somewhere along the line there was a guy, you know, typing one of those new translations of the Bible one day, and as he's going through it and he gets to this, he had to have some kind of a thought process there saying, man, maybe we'll skip that one. But at any rate, it clearly says that you shouldn't add to it, you shouldn't take away from it. The King James Bible is good enough. That's all I need. I actually had a guy give me a Bible 2 weeks ago. I did some work on his pickup truck, and he says, "Hey, I got something for you." And he gave me this Bible that was like that big. It's huge. It was printed in 1791 in Worcester, and he says, "Here, you can just have it." So I took it home, and it's a blessing to me. It's got a family tree listed inside of it. And the people that were listed in the Bible, the husband and the wife, were actually married in 1774. And then all their kids are listed there. It's pretty interesting. But it was a blessing to me to know that Bible that was printed in 1791 is the exact same words and the same everything that I have here today. That's just, there's something about that. But those last two verses of this chapter, it says, "He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly, amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." What a promise from God. He says, "I'm coming back again, but while I'm gone, I'm going to leave you with something. I'm going to leave you with a little bit of grace. I'm going to give you something to get you through the day. I'm going to be there for you to help you out. I'm going to give you some grace." What a promise from God that we have that to freely use. Or we also have that to freely put on a shelf like we do too often. But we have, in my life, I've, you know, many people have, not many people, but I have a few relatives that have left me things or given me things, and I was actually gonna bring one of them here this morning, but I know that if I had a rifle up here this morning, somebody would just pass out right there on the floor. They couldn't take their eyes off of it because they'd be afraid it was gonna jump up and start shooting at them. But at any rate, I have a rifle that was my great, I've had two rifles, one from my dad's mother's father and one from my mom's dad's father. You can figure that all out. But the one from my dad's side of the family is an old Winchester. It's a 45-70 government is what it shoots. And there was five or six boys in the family, and my great-grandfather and all the boys had killed a deer with this rifle. And that my great-uncle gave it to me because he knew that his daughter would sell it. And then the other one that I got is a 30-30 Winchester lever action, and it's all refurbished and all redone. My great-grandfather's a farmer up in Maine, and he just had it around the house to, you know, coyotes or wolves or whatever. Wasn't much of a hunter, but it's all redone. My grandfather redid it. So I have these things and that are left to me, that are with me. And in both cases, I had to, you know, do the secret handshake and sign a bunch of papers saying I'd never sell it, which I wouldn't anyway, but they were left to me. And I cherish those things. I have them at the house, and I take care of them, and they're secure, and they're, you know, in a good environment, and the whole deal. I'm not gonna, you know, leave them out so that they can get water all over them and rust, and I take care of them. But I think a problem that Christians have today is in the very last verse of the Bible. God says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." And I think sometimes as Christians, we take that grace, and we don't, it's not even that we don't do much with it, but we don't care for it. It doesn't really mean much to us. We got enough grace to get saved, and you ought to thank God for it. But we don't ever want to see or use that grace again so we can grow, or so we can serve, or so we can lead somebody to Christ, or we can work on a bus. We don't, you know, because that takes God's grace, by the way. Man, there's a lot of things I couldn't do without the grace of God. Pretty much everything. My wife and I have been married 9 years this September. 9 years this September. I'll tell you right now, we get along pretty good. There's no problems there, but man, without the grace of God, I can be a difficult person to live with. Very difficult. Without the grace of God, our marriage wouldn't be successful. And if you ask me today, is my marriage successful? I'd say, yeah, it is. She might lie to you and say no, but I think it is. But we have this amazing amount of grace that God has given us. And it says right there in the Bible, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And the next word is very important, all. Not some. You know, he didn't just say, all right, you know, here's some for this one and some for that one and some. No. Just like salvation, it's there for everybody. It's there for all of us to use. It's there for all of us to advance our Christian life. It's there for all of us to use to serve God. The word grace means to favor or honor, to adorn, to decorate, to embellish, to dignify. Man, God left this for us. God's grace. Man, God has given us so much. God's grace in his creation. I think it's no coincidence, obviously, but I think it's pretty amazing that the very first verse of the Bible starts with God's grace. In the beginning, God created. And the very same Bible, all those pages later, ends with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, that there's no coincidence there. That there, for as amazing as this book is, and for it to end with that sentence, if you spend some time in the Bible, you will go, no doubt, if you really sink into the Bible and really get into the Bible, you will go on this intense emotional roller coaster of man, these battles that you read about and victories that happen and people that are defeated, and you're going to be from, man, it's better than any novel I've ever read. I'm not much of a book reader, but I guarantee that is the best book I've ever read. Just get into it and visualize it and spend some time in it, and you're going to go from these great victories when you see the walls of Jericho fall down to these great times of depression when you read about David hiding in a cave. You can't help but get a little bit sad, and then you come back up again, and you go down, and it's an emotional roller coaster. And then you get to the book of John, where John stands up and says, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." You have to be excited about that. But when you get to the end, and you start reading about the judgments that are coming and all these things that are coming, and you get concerned for people, and you start to wonder what's going to happen to the people I know. But when you get to the very end of the Bible, God leaves you with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Man, what a way. Man, just, you know, nothing to worry about. Take it easy. The grace of God's with you. What more do you need? What more do you need? God's grace and his creation, just absolutely amazing in Genesis 1:1. I'm a big creation guy. I didn't get saved till I was 23 years old. I got saved right over here in one of these chairs. Actually, we had benches then. Thank God for it every day. But I didn't get saved till I was 23 years old, so I spent a lot of time. Never went to church nowhere. Never been to church one time in my life before that. But I got saved that day. And even before that, when I was in school and they were teaching about evolution and all that, I'm just standing there scratching my head, saying, there is no way. There is absolutely no way that that happened. That is impossible. And then after I got saved and I got more involved in his creation, I've always liked the outdoors. I'd always rather be outside than inside. And man, after I started to understand the creation a little bit more, and man, you see, I don't know, we got like 300 turkeys live in our backyard now, and they go walking through and they're goofy looking and stuff, but man, that's God's creation. Man, what an amazing thing. Go trout fishing in the spring or the fall, and you catch a trout, and it's just exactly the way God designed it. The colors, the spots, everything is, it just, and that God created that one just like that. Man, that's amazing. God's grace and his creation. How much time and how much effort was put into thought process? I don't know, but man, I know God said, and it was so. But man, just the uniqueness. If you can't get excited about God's creation, just looking around a little bit and the birds chirping and everything, man. If you can't get excited about that, then what can you get excited about? Man, God's creation is amazing. God's grace through his creation. God's grace is all through the Bible. But the most important place it is in the Bible, I think, is that very last verse. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ would be with you all. Man, that's, if you don't have anything else, you have God's grace. But what about God's grace for sanctification? Man, the Bible talks a lot about that. Sanctification, that word sanctification. If you look at 1 Peter chapter number 1. First Peter chapter number 1, verses 1 and 2. You guys all doing all right over there? You all paying attention, right? I don't see nobody. Anybody looking at the back of the room when they should be looking at the front of the room? The Bible says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. What? Grace unto you. And peace be multiplied. Man, you know what's going to help you sanctify your life? God's grace. Man, I can't begin to tell you my whole life story this morning, but man, when I got saved, I had a lot of cleaning up to do. And standing here in front of you today, I'll testify for a minute. I still have a lot of cleaning up to do. Man, I'll never be clean enough for God, except for the blood of Jesus Christ. Man, what an amazing concept. When God looks at me right now, he sees Jesus Christ. Man, I still see me. That's horrible. But God sees Jesus Christ. That's grace. I'm not going to talk about that this morning. But sanctification. It's going to take God's grace to sanctify you. What's that mean? It's going to take God's grace to carve some things out of your life. It's going to take God's grace for you to put some things down that you shouldn't be hanging on to. It's going to take God's grace to bring your walk with God to the next level. You know, we can try and try and try and try to do all these things. Man, you can read your Bible through in a year and never pray one time, and you'll probably get through it. But, man, if you read your Bible through in a year with God, man, you get a lot more out of it. You come to a point in your life where you desire to give some things up, or I think it's 2 Thessalonians, I think is where it is, chapter 2. Let me see if I can find it. This might even be the wrong one. Let's see. Verse number 13 in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." There ought to come a point in time in your Christian life when you understand that, man, I got to sanctify myself. I got to set myself apart a little bit from the world. There's a little bit more to this thing of Christianity than just getting saved and never doing anything for God. And I was like that for 10 years, man. There's people in this room that could testify to that fact today that I never did nothing. I was lucky if I came to church once a week. But through conviction and through preaching and through all these different things, through good friends, man, the first time, I'll never forget it, Brother Ron said to me, "Hey, well, let's go out to dinner or something." I don't even know what it was, Friday or Saturday night. I'm like, "All right, let's do it." So I didn't know, right? So we go down to, well, I had one of them Brazilian grills in Plymouth. I think it's the first place we ever went. I show up. I'm like, "Yeah, I'll be all right, Brother Ron. He don't seem that bad. We'll get through it." So I get there, and who's with him? Brother Joe. I said, "Well, ain't this right?" So we go in, sit down. I said, "Man, you guys are out to get me or something." "Oh, what do you think about serving God?" And I'm like, "I don't know. Never really thought about it." And I had, you know, the usual excuses. I was on the road all the time, and I was this, and I was that. And slowly over the course of time, as I used those excuses, and I wasn't, they were excuses, but they weren't, because I wasn't home, and I was on the road all the time. But I always told people, "Yeah, you know, maybe when that changes someday, I can do more." So over a period of time, it's funny how God works in mysterious ways. Man, I didn't stop running the road all the time. I was doing more local stuff. And then from local stuff, I went into the office in the garage, and I was home every night. That's curious. So we all go out to dinner there that Friday night, and we're just sitting there talking, had a great time, and started thinking more about it, and I went home. And I didn't know about it, but they went and rode around and prayed for the bus route, different places, and I think I saw them that following Sunday, And Brother Ron says, "Yeah, we went for a ride around, and we just kind of prayed for the bus. We got home at like 2:30 in the morning." I'm like, "Yeah, okay, I'm all set with that." But man, the more I hung around them guys, Christian friends are important. Man, people that believe the same thing we believe are important. They can change your whole outlook. They can change your perspective, change your view on so many things. Man, that's God's grace, sanctification. Hey, you don't need to do that. Man, why don't you do this instead? That's God's grace. When you're convicted about something and you decide you're going to give something up, when you decide you don't want it anymore, whatever it is, drinking or dope or whatever. Man, I'm used to preaching teaching teenage boys, I'm going to say chasing women, but I hope everybody here don't do that. But man, when you decide to give some of that stuff up, the only way that you can do it, you can't physically, humanly do it alone and by yourself. You can, but you might not be as successful. Eventually you may get there, but if you do it with God on your side and you use his grace, man, God will do amazing things. God will do fascinating things. And you'll just stand back and say, wow. Man, I still don't understand it, to be totally honest with you. But man, God's sanctifying, cutting some things away, changing some things around. Man, get you to rely on him a little bit more. Get you to do some things you never thought you'd do. Yeah, like this. Man, there's several people here this morning. You could ask 10 years ago, however long ago, they thought I'd ever be standing up here. They said, no way. Man, if you asked me that, I'd say, you're out of your mind. But with God's grace. Man, it's still nerve-wracking to me. It still boggles my mind why I'm even being used. But with God's grace, that's what he wants me to do. I'll do it. Man, it'll change your mindset if you really get into this grace thing. It'll change your whole perspective. It'll change the way you look at things, change the way you feel about things. Things that you used to think weren't that bad, you'll think, man, that's horrible. That's God working on you. Man, use his grace and get rid of some of that stuff. God's grace for sanctification. I had another thought there, but I lost it. But it'll clean you up. It'll set you free. Man, you won't be bound by the chains of sin. And thank God for salvation, you're not anymore, but that stuff can still be a drudgery and can still hold you back and still, you know, my mom has horses and she used to have one, or she still has him, he's old now, but he would haul a sulky around a little car. And she never had a car, but we used to hook the rigging all up to him and we'd ground drive and we'd walk around behind him. And she used to get mad at me because I worked in a harness shop when I was a kid, and you know, making harnesses and repairing them and all that. And she'd get all the stuff put on him. They have a word for it, but I don't know what it is. They'd dress them all up. And she'd go out and mess around with him, and she couldn't do it. So, come on, Mom, let me give it a try. Yeah, all right. So I come and grab the reins, and, you know, flip them around. And just from talking to all these old-timers that did it for years, how to hold the reins and how to do this and that. Man, that horse was a pretty good, he could drive pretty good, you know, just kind of, and he, you know, do what you wanted him to do. And I always wanted to hitch him to a car, but we never did. But, man, as soon as you, that particular horse, as soon as he felt you pull back just a little bit, man, he'd come to a dead stop. And you're saying, what in the world does this have to do with anything? That sin that you're carrying around, that's exactly what's that doing to you. Man, it's just like you put a bit in a horse's mouth. And depending on the horse, there's all kinds of different ones. Some of them need a real long shank, so you get a lot of leverage. Jam that thing right into the roof of their mouth, and it wakes them up. But, man, that it just holds you back enough. The devil will just stand there smiling, pulling on it a little bit. Yeah, take that. How do you like that? Let's see you serve God now. Man, with God's grace, you could have, the bit could be that long with the reins pulling on it. With God's grace, you're not even going to feel it. Amen. You're going to keep serving God. You're going to keep desiring the things of God. You're going to keep going after God. You're going to just keep doing God's work with God's grace. Man, you try to get rid of sin without the grace of God, it's going to be difficult. I got rid of sin with the grace of God, and it's difficult. Never mind without. Man, you try to do it alone and figure it out on your own and do it yourself. And I know guys that personally in my life that have gone through an AA program or whatever. And man, in fact, there's a guy that works for me on Saturdays. He's been, I don't know, sober for like 18 years now. And he's not saved that I know of, doesn't come to church, doesn't go to church anywhere. But the progression that he talks about going through. And then I talked to a friend of mine who's a pastor in Texas, and he brings numbers and numbers of people. He lives in just a little bit west of Dallas, and they call it the meth capital of Texas. And there's a church a couple towns over, and they have an RU program. And he loads them all up, and that's like their, in fact, that was their, man, for youth group events, we go to like the waterfront, or we go to Newport, or stuff like that. Man, this guy's pastoring a church at their youth group event one Friday night, was they went to an RU meeting with their teenagers. Because they're so messed up on dope and booze and everything else. And he's just trying to help them and trying to get them cleaned up and trying to get them right, trying to get them jobs, trying to get them to see the grace of God. And you know what? It's working. Man, it's working. I get text messages from him all the time, man. I took a bunch of them to RU meeting again tonight, and three or four of them are going to give up this, and they're going to give up that. And no, they don't all make it the first time around, but that one that does say, man, I'm not going to do that anymore. I need to pass a drug test so I can get a job. And 3 weeks later, their praise and testimony time is, praise the Lord. I stayed clean for a month. I passed the drug test. I'm going to work tomorrow. Man, we got it pretty good up here in our little corner of the world. I've been to his church. I've preached at his church. I've talked to him a lot on the phone. Man, it's a tough area. But he says, the grace of God, man, we can do amazing things down here in Texas. And he's doing it. But it's God's grace. You got to have God's grace for sanctification to clean you up. It'll sober you up. It'll straighten you up. It'll fix you up. It'll patch you up if you're hurt. It'll just make you feel so much better. If we wouldn't leave God's grace or walk away from the grace of God or whatever, man, there's so much more to the Christian life than just salvation. Salvation's the most important thing, don't get me wrong. But past salvation, man, that's when it gets good. Salvation's good. That didn't come out right, but salvation is the best thing ever. But when you take that next step and you start serving God and you depend on his grace a little bit more and you depend on his grace a little bit more and you say, God, I don't know what you're doing, but okay, I'll depend on your grace a little bit more. And you get to the point in your life where, man, you're serving God and it's fun and everything's, it's awesome. Man, I've done a lot of crazy things. I've driven fast cars. I've played paintball. I've gone on roller coasters. I've done all this stuff, man. There's nothing. Man, I was an adrenaline junkie when I was in high school. I whatever I had to do, it was just, you know, even after high school. I went down 495 one night in my Corvette, 170 miles an hour. I'm like, yeah, this is a good time. Hope I don't hit nothing. But, man, whatever. I just had to have that intensity, that thrill that just gets right in there. You know what? There is nothing I have ever done driving fast cars, anything that compares with the intensity and the thrill of serving God. Hey, you know what? The most thrilling moment of my life, I'm willing to bet, was Friday night. Or I should say one of, because my wedding day was pretty good too. But the most thrilling moment of my life was Friday night when I got done preaching and I had the invitation time. And six kids raised their hand for salvation. And six kids went into the back room, three boys and three girls, with Brother Ron and my wife. And I sat down and I started praying that they'd just get convicted and that they'd get saved. And man, when they walked back out, the first three came out, the three boys came out first, I think. And man, they all got saved. And I got excited. Man, I wanted to jump up and start hollering, but I knew I had to contain myself because I'd think I was nuts or something. Man, I just told them, praise the Lord, good job. I hope you come back to church. And then it wasn't 2 or 3 minutes later, the three girls come out, and all three of them got saved. Man, that's a thrilling moment. That's an exciting moment. That's better than driving a fast car. That's better than playing paintball games, and those are fun. I still enjoy it. But, man, it's better than playing football in a big game. It's better than bench pressing. I don't know how much I bench pressed in high school, almost 500 pounds. It's better than all that. Man, seeing people come to the Lord. Seeing people grow in the Lord. Seeing people start to understand the Bible and what it means and everything that that it can be and everything that it should be to you, man, that's when it gets good. When you take that grace of God and you start applying it and say, all right, God, I don't know, but with your grace, I can do it. And a preacher says, man, can you do something else? Yeah, with the grace of God, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. And then you get to that point where, man, that's all you think about. And most of you know, I'm in business. We have some trucks. And we have a repair shop. And we have all kinds of stuff. I love what I do. It's a challenge. Because I have to be challenged all the time. I told my wife last week with VBS, I worked all week. The end of the week, everybody's like all falling over tired. And I was tired, man, but I was excited because I'm the kind of guy that the more that I have to try to get in this amount of time, the better off I am. Man, the more I have to do, all right, it's Monday, by Friday, this has to be done. Everybody else says, nah, you can't do that. And I say, oh, yeah, we can. That's the kind of guy I am. And the more I can fit into that time frame, the better it is. But I'm to the point now with God's grace, man, I love business. I love the challenge. I love everything about what I do. But I'm to the point now where business is like almost secondary to me. Man, I do it every day, Monday through Friday, Saturday too, Monday through Saturday. I do it every day. I enjoy what I do. I get aggravated. I get whatever. I make a decent living doing it, and I enjoy what I do. But, man, I'm to the point now, with God's grace, man, it's nothing that I've done, nothing I can do. But with God's grace, I'm to the point in my life now where, not that that doesn't matter, because it still matters a lot, and I still get into it, and I still like it, and all that. But with God's grace, man, I spend Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, well, Monday and Tuesday looking forward to Wednesday, and then Thursday and Friday and Saturday looking forward to Sunday. Man, that's God's grace. When I came here the first time, September 1999, they almost, like, had to catapult me through the front doors to get me to come. It was like, you know, come on, let's go to church. You know, I'm all set with that. You guys are weird. Something wrong with you. I don't know what goes on there, but I don't want none of that. Man, my wife and I were dating at the time. She was going to another church. She said, let's go to church. You know, and I said, I knew somebody was coming here, kept giving me Bible track. I'm like, did I ever run out of these things? So I said, all right, we'll go to church for you on a Sunday, but we got to go to this church because I know somebody there. I don't know anybody where you go. I said, all right. So I came one Sunday. Heard the gospel preached, ran out the back doors, came the next Sunday. Man, I raised my hand again both times. Man, I didn't know where I was going to die or where I'd go. But man, I raised my hand. And I have no idea where I'm going to go. Deacon grabbed me by the arm. He said, why don't we settle this thing today? You were here last week, you raised your hand. You're back again this week, you still don't know. Let's go get it taken care of. Why were you looking? Was the first thing I said, and the second thing I said was, all right, yeah, okay, let's do it. So we walked right down here to the front, and yeah, another man showed me how to get saved, and I sat there and I cried. Man, I cried. And I still get emotional about it. And nobody ever seen me cry, even at that point. We were dating. I don't even think my wife had seen me cry, because it's just nothing. My mom, my dad, no way. If my dad seen me cry, he'd make me cry. I'll get drunk and cry, though. But, man, I sat there and just held my head in my hands and just cried and cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. And I got myself together, and I sat there until I knew the whole building was empty. And then I got up and left. Because I didn't want nobody to see me like that. Man, I don't know what just happened, but I don't know what I'm crying about, but it must be good. And that's God's grace that's brought me from there. It's God's grace that brought me there to start with. And it's the grace of God that got me to that point. And it's the grace of God that continued the progression through the rest of my life. It took longer than it should have to get me to where I am today. And by the grace of God, I want to keep going forward And you hear about people all the time that just get out of church and they don't go back again, and they, whatever happened, somebody said this, somebody said that. Man, I pray every day for the grace of God that that never happens to me. It never happens to any of us. Man, a church family is important. But most of all, I'm almost through. The grace of God, I said it was good for creation. I said it was good for sanctification. But most of all, the grace of God is good for salvation. Man, where would we be without the grace of God? A very familiar passage. I'm going to read it to you because I don't have all of it memorized. But Romans 3:23 and 24. If I can get to it. And I'm going to finish with this thought because my water is empty. And I'll be done. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Through his grace, I got saved. Praise the Lord. Through his grace. Man, I didn't come over here and show me, you know, you have to work. You're all right, how old are you? 23. All right, so if you work until you're 65, they come up with this big formula that said you have to work this many hours a week, you have to come here this many hours, you have to give this much money. And then God will think about letting you in. No, they said, man, you just accept Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And you're in. How does that work? I don't understand. I don't. Man, kids are easy to lead to the Lord. Do you believe it? I don't believe anything you say. But no. Man, I was 23 years old. I didn't believe nothing anybody told me. Honestly. If it's a church member, I still don't believe anything they tell me. But, man, by God's grace, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Man, if you're not saved this morning, if you've never accepted that gift of his grace, man, today's the day. Bible says today is the day. Don't leave here. Don't walk out those doors. And I'm going to close with this illustration that I've used twice in the last week, and the teenagers are going to absolutely have a fit when I start talking about it. You never know when that last day is coming. You never know. Man, some of you, I'm sure, watched the news, and up in Quebec there was a train that went off the rails and blew up and caught fire, and 50 people were killed that night. The best they can tell, there might be more, they don't even know yet. But the engineer parked the train where he always did on the top of the hill, and he went and got a room for the night, and it had 5 engines in the train, and I think there were 75 or 80 cars of crude oil coming from North Dakota going to St. John, New Brunswick to the refinery. I'm not a refinery expert or anything. I just haul out of most of them on the East Coast, so I know where they are. They were going to the refinery in St. John, New Brunswick. And the engineer parked the train. He left the first engine running so that the thing would have air, so the brakes would stay on. He set the handbrake on 4 or 5 of the cars like he was supposed to. He went to the motel for the night. At 11:30, the fire department got a call and said one of the engines was on fire. There was 5 engines on the train. They came down. They didn't want the fire to spread, so they went and shut the first one off. They put the fire out on the one that was burning, and they left. And the train sat there, nobody knows how long, but it lost all its air pressure, and it started to roll down the hill towards town. And there's a curve coming right into town. They say the train is supposed to go, I think, like 25 miles an hour around this curve, and they estimate that the train was going about 65 when it hit that curve, and needless to say, it all came off the rails. And when it all came off the rails, it started blowing up. And the oil poured into the town as it was burning. And, you know, just these huge explosions. If you search for it on YouTube, it's just an amazing thing to see. And, man, 50 people lost their life that night. And if you ask those 50 people that morning, you think you'll die today? Sure, not one of them would say, yeah, probably. And more importantly than that, if you ask those 50 people, hey, you think you'll die today in a train accident? They say, no, I don't have, I've never been on a train in my life. But man, 50 people died that night because of a train accident. 50 people were sent to eternity just like that because of a train accident. But none of them could prepare for, none of them could anticipate, none of them could ever see coming. Man, you ought to grab a hold of God's grace while the opportunity is presenting itself. You ought to, when we pray in just a second, you ought to run down to this altar and say, Brother Blaine, I need to get saved. Don't wait another day. Man, we'll find somebody in this room here today that'll show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you go to heaven when you die. You can accept God's grace. It says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Man, I'm glad I accepted that grace. The greatest day of my life was the day I got saved. When I finally realized I was lost and going to hell. You never know. And you don't know. You could be in a train accident tonight. You could, man, I know a guy, another example, I didn't work with him, but he worked at a place that I hauled out of years ago. Big rugged guy, big muscly guy, nicest guy in the world. Man, he's in the shower one morning, he slipped and fell in the shower and he hit his head and knocked him out. And I'm not going to get too graphic, but he threw up and he drowned. And nobody planned on that. And you don't know. You don't know. You don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Nobody's guaranteed anything. But if you're not saved this morning, in just a minute, man, you got to make that decision. Be the greatest day of your life, the day you got saved. You know what? I'll get excited if you don't. Because maybe I understand it more. I'm not a very smart guy, but I'll tell you what. When you realize what you should do, where you should go, and where you're not going, and where you are going, and you start to rationalize that a little bit, it doesn't take me a long time to figure out that's a pretty good deal. Man, that's some good grace right there. There ain't no other God on the face of this earth that can offer that. Man, not a one. I don't care who you pick. You can list them all off. I think in India alone, they have, Brother Brian Pratt told me, in India alone, they have like 4 million gods. Which one? You just find one you like his name? I like that one. Man, I serve the true and living God. I serve the only God that has enough grace to take me from here to an eternal glory land. Man, where I don't have to worry about aches and pains or tears or any of that stuff anymore. Man, what a day it will be when I'm finally there. I'm having a good time, don't get me wrong. I love life. I'm not looking to go tomorrow, but man, if tomorrow's the day, praise the Lord. That's the best I can say. But if you don't know for sure, man, that today's the day of salvation. Bible says, for behold, today is the day of salvation. Don't leave this church. Don't leave this place. Don't leave this property without asking somebody about Jesus Christ. Be the greatest day of your life. I promise. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for today. Lord, just thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, I pray that you just help us to understand your grace a little bit more. Lord, I pray that you just strengthen us. Lord, be with us now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. You say, Brother Blaine, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I don't know what that means. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to make fun of you. I'm not going to say a word. I just want you to raise your hand so I can pray for you. I've never been saved before. Just slip your hand up. I don't know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I want to experience that grace that you talked about. Just slip your hand up real quick. I just want to pray for you. All right, you can stand to your feet. The music's going to play.